So the Arne Slot era at Anfield in the Premier League starts with a victory. Liverpool outstanding in the second half. Had to work hard in the first half. But Luis Diaz, on his 100th appearance for Liverpool, was different gravy. He scored the opener. Brilliant break from a Brentford corner. 9 seconds is what it took from the Brentford corner to the opposition net. Great break by Jota. Diaz stayed onside, played it to him, in on goal. Wonderful finish, a rocket finish from the Colombian into the back of the net to give Liverpool the lead. Brentford missed a good chance with a free header from Norgaard in the first half. Great save by Alisson from Collins in the second. But Liverpool, with Mark Flecken making some brilliant saves for Brentford, we hit the woodwork twice, but the second goal was superb. Diaz, the creator, rolled into Mo Salah, onside, right edge of the area, left-footed, rolled it into the corner. Terrific stuff. Great start to life at Anfield under Arne Slot. Liverpool 2, Brentford 0.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events here at Anfield as Liverpool made it 2 wins from 2 under Arne Slot, thanks to those goals from Luis Diaz and Mo Salah. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from the boss himself, as well as former Reds Gary Gillespie and Neil Mellor, who joined me pitchside for LFC TV's post-match show. First, though, to Ibu Konaté, who spoke to Peter McDowell after the game.
Well, Ibu, a fantastic start to the new Premier League season and a fantastic start to life at Anfield.
Yeah, and this stadium missed me a lot, and I'm very happy for today because we won 2-0 and we didn't concede. This is the most important for the team, and now we have to be ready for the next big game who will come in very quick, and let's prepare this game.
It was a very controlled performance today, and I think that's the key word, is it not, under this new manager?
Yeah, of course, but I think we controlled this game because we worked so hard. People think this game was easy, but no, what not easy was hard because we ran a lot, we worked all together, and this was very good for everyone. Now we are not very 100% because it's a new manager, we start a new thing, but I think this will come in very quick, and I'm so excited to be 100% with what the manager wants, and we have to work every day for that.
You were fantastic today, fantastic when you came on the pitch at half-time at Ipswich, 73 passes today, that was the best on the pitch, you won every duel, you must have been delighted with your performance.
Yeah, I think I'm happy, and I have to show what I like to do, because I think a lot of people forgot what I did last season, a few games before, and now I have to show back, and I am ready this season to be the best, and I hope to be one of the best defenders in the world this season.
In terms of the goals as well, great team goals, weren't they? Every manager loves to see great team goals, but they were marvellous to watch from here as well.
Yeah, of course. But I think the goalkeeper and the defender of Brentford did well as well, because we have so many chances to score. But 2-0, we are happy with that, and I hope the next game we will score more goals.
Just a word about the wingers that scored today as well. Mo's stats, the numbers are just incredible, aren't they? Just to give you those 128 games he's played at Anfield, he's now scored 93 goals here.
Really? This guy is crazy. I saw this guy's game. You know, I am a very big fan of Mo. It's crazy. Every season, it's always the same story. Even when he go to African Cup, he have a lot of goals. I don't understand how he do that, really. And he's a big inspiration for me, because I saw it every day, how he work. And I want to be like him, really.
And just finally, Lucho as well. He started the season so fresh.
No, Lucho is a very good player, and we need him. We need Koji. We need everyone in this attack. And I hope they will score a lot of goals this season.
Brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good effort all round. We'll touch on Ibu's contribution in a bit. But on the game as a whole, Gary, what did you make of what we got today? Liverpool worthy of that 2-0 scoreline?
Yeah, quite a professional job. I thought there was really good bits in it, some good bits, some ordinary bits, and sometimes we're a little bit on edge. Brentford weren't without their opportunities, weren't without their chances. I think Norgaard had a great opportunity in the first half with a header that he totally missed. But all in all, I thought, to be honest with you, had we lost the game, it would have been a travesty, to be quite honest with you. I thought we could have maybe added to like the two goals. But any time you start a season with 2-0, 2-0, clean sheets in both games, first time we've done that for quite a while, I think. So that's promising. And all in all, I think everybody should be absolutely delighted with the performance.
Yeah. And when we got that second goal, it kind of put some of the wind out of Brentford's sails, didn't it? And there were opportunities then for us to maybe have added to that final score.
Yeah, it felt in that second half, is it going to be one of those games days where we don't get the second goal and all of a sudden the opposition, Brentford, nick an equaliser when they've not deserved it? So the second goal was crucial. You know, to get it, and it felt comfortable, and we cruised to victory in that last 20 minutes. We could make a few substitutions. Brentford didn't really threaten in that time, but as Gary mentioned, they had two big moments in the game. The free header, which was a big chance from a set piece, and then the one in the second half as well, at 1-0, when Alisson had to make a save. So barring those two moments, I thought we were much the better side. You're looking at areas which are slightly different today to what we had last season, an early goal. I don't think we had enough early goals last season. How many times were we playing games thinking we need that early goal? We didn't get that last season a lot. We got it today, very early goal. And the first goal, you know, we conceded that first goal too many times last season. So they were real positives for me. To get an early goal, to get that first goal, loads of chances second half, more than the first half. We didn't take them. Eventually we did with Salah and we cruised to victory. And it was a good atmosphere. I thought the crowd really got behind the new manager today. First game at Anfield of the season. All in all, very good. 3 points, clean sheet.
Yeah, we can sort of pick through the team and talk about some of the individuals who played a part. We should probably start with the man we just heard from. Ibu Kanate's come in, as Pete said, he's played a game and a half now, looked good, and perhaps looks more like the Ibu Kanate who first stepped onto the pitch here for Liverpool. Maybe last year, lost his way a little bit, but this season I think he's looked already like he's back to what we thought we had of him.
Yeah, I think, you know, Kanate, he's a top-class player, without any shadow of a doubt. Unfortunately, he can't seem to get in the French national side on a regular basis.
But not short of a good player, to be fair.
But in saying that, I mean, I had no doubts about Kanate whatsoever. I thought he would have actually started the season. I think Kwanza deserved to start the season with the performances he showed last season and certainly in pre-season as well. And with Kanate coming back a little bit, obviously, later because of the Euros, I thought he deserved to start. He's probably let himself down a little bit, young Jarrell, with the performance in the first half with Ipswich. No way was he the worst player against Ipswich. I think he struggled a little bit with the physicality of it. But, you know, as I say, you've got three quality, top-class international... Well, not Kwanzaa's not an international just yet, but in saying that, you've got three quality centre-backs there. And to be honest with you, if you had any formation or any couple of them playing with you on a regular basis, you wouldn't mind it so much, I don't think.
I think the hunger, you could hear it in the interview, couldn't you? The hunger of him saying...
He wants to be the best centre-back. You want a defender in the world. Yeah,
And he's learning alongside one of the best for many years in the world, in Virgil van Dijk. But it's not just the start of this season he found himself out of the team. It was the back end of last season, wasn't it? He was actually fit and on the bench. Kwanza was keeping him out. So it wasn't just this manager. It was the previous manager as well that did keep him out. But he's got that hunger. Didn't play for France. But again, he's come into pre-season a little bit disrupted because he's not been... up there with the first training sessions like Kwanza was. So, I thought he was absolutely superb. Some of the blocks, I think the duels that I think Pete mentioned in an interview, they won all the duels there. He's defending 1v1. You always fancy him to time his challenge, to make sure there's no opportunity. So he was outstanding, he really was.
And his is the sort of thing we spoke about with Jarrell pre-match. It's about reactions, it's about channeling any frustrations in the right way. He probably was frustrated a little bit, maybe the back end of last season when he was ready to come back in and couldn't. Again, doesn't start the first game of the season, but when he does get an opportunity, he comes in play as well. And that'll be the same for Jarrell in contrast and anyone else who's not in the team just now. The forward players, it's about the right response and dealing with it. And when you do get an opportunity, doing what he has done.
Well, I think we all know now that it's very much a squad game, isn't it? It's not about just your starting 11, it's about the pool of players that you've got to pick from. And Liverpool, without really going out and signing anybody of any great note, I still think they've got quite a strong squad. And I think that emphasises the fact that he's come in and place of Kwanza. And Liverpool, well, you wouldn't kind of know that they had made a change. I think they just rolled on. I thought there was a lot of good performances today. I thought Szoboszlai did a heck of a lot of good work in the middle of the park. Probably goes a little bit unnoticed, but a great deal of energy in there. McAllister just like he looks like a Rolls Royce McAllister. He protects the ball so well. His passing is very, very good, whether it be long or short. So I think all round again, as I say, like the manager, well, the coach as it is now, I think we'll be absolutely delighted with the way things have gone.
Yeah, we're still sort of adjusting and getting our head round the balance of that midfield. We chatted a little bit about it pre-match. Mentioned Dominic Szoboszlai there, we mentioned Alex McAllister. Ryan Gravenberch as well, excellent in that number six, good use of the ball, great athleticism, gets back really well. Something perhaps we didn't see last season. You mentioned it pre-match what he did at Ipswich, he did that again today. Looks comfortable there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was good balance in the midfield. You know, you mentioned about the energy in there. I thought they all had an understanding about what was required. Gravenberch was always an option to get on the ball. He'll take it off the goalkeeper, off the centre-halves, no problem at all. He was the deeper one of the three of them. But as Gary mentioned, Dominic Szoboszlai covered a lot of ground and he might not have had as many touches as maybe a Gravenberch, but certainly put in a real important shift for Liverpool in midfield. And McAllister, I mean, when McAllister gets on the ball, as an attacker, make a run, because he can pick that pass out. So I felt as though it was a real good mixture there. But the reactions, because we spoke about it before the game, one of the threats that Brentford will have in this game today would be the counter-attack. And it wasn't just Gravenberch, Kanata, it was four, five Liverpool shirts wanting to get back, so there was no shot at the end of it. I thought that was noticeable on a few occasions today. And certainly Gravenberch in that defensive midfield role was one that was doing that as well.
The manager's spoken about kind of the thing he wants to have is players in close proximity to each other to be able to exchange the passes quickly and then free up the space elsewhere. What do you make of what we've seen of that side of things in these early games, Gary? The fact that at times you are having bunches of players really close together, especially in that kind of middle part of the pitch.
I don't think it always works. I think sometimes we get a little bit over deliberate in possession of the ball. I think we maybe take a little bit too much time. But when we go at pace, we look really threatening, and we can play between the lines quite easily. And I think we saw that on a couple of occasions. Like some of the moves today were really, really exciting. I mean, Mohamed Salah's effort, like just before he scored, like played about 3-1-2s at the edge of the 18-yard box and just about got himself in there. But not just like round about the 18-yard box. I think playing through the lines from the centre backs into the central midfield players. At times, for me, it looks a little bit laboured, but I think that's the way he wants to play. I think, dare I say it, lulling like the opposition maybe into a false sense of security that there's no kind of urgency, and then all of a sudden, boom, bang, 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 it goes quickly, and like Liverpool are through, and like they're creating good attacking options in like the attacking third of the pitch. So all in all, I think the balance is really good with that, and I think Szoboszlai plays his part in that. If you watch Szoboszlai is the furthest most midfield player that we probably have at the time, and he presses like the number six or the centre backs, and that allows like Liverpool to squeeze up again and hold a high line, and like opposition struggle to play through that.
Just on that sort of lulling the team into a false sense of security, there is that change of pace, and what you do notice, there is still that ability to break at pace, which was a hallmark of Jürgen's teams. And we saw it with the first goal, that the breakaway, Jota's pass, Diaz scores. That was all done at pace, all done with such precision. We've seen that time and time again over the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and we'll continue to see that. There's no doubt about that. I think Kanate plays his involvement with the first goal to win the first contact from the corner that came in from Brentford. I think Salah wins his 50-50 on the edge of the box. And then we break, don't we? Obviously, with Jota and Diaz, and the decision-making there was outstanding. The movement was outstanding to finish as well for Luis Diaz. But when we're talking about sort of the way we're going to be playing, and Gary touched on it there, the manager said about smaller passes. Now, we're going to be playing against teams that are going to be camped back defensively, back four, back five, whatever it is, a couple in front. And it's about being patient with the ball, moving the ball quickly, and just trying to find that little bit of space and not getting frustrated by it. And the crowd might get frustrated at times, but always being patient to frustrate the opposition, knowing that they might be organised, but they're not getting a kick of the ball. So we're having to move the ball in very small spaces, tight spaces, and it's getting used to doing that, because there's going to be a lot of games this season, not just here at Anfield, but away as well, where teams are going to put everyone behind the ball, and can we find a way to get through them when it is really congested in there? We'll always have that threat. We'll always have the threat on the counter-attack, without a doubt, but it's just finding that way through those tight defences.
Yeah, and that goes back to one of the reasons maybe why he likes having Ryan Gravenberch in there as well. As in those tight spaces, he's going to be more likely to thread something through or drop the shoulder and drop a little bit of pace in there, which maybe you wouldn't have got with the likes of Ataro Endo. Maybe that's one of the things he wants, more of a dynamic ball-playing midfielder in that number six.
Yeah, I mean, Ataro was like one of these guys that faced it up, wasn't he? He was always available in between like the spaces, but like it wasn't a case where he was going to let the ball run through his body and attack the opposition. I think when you look at Gravenberch, we mentioned it in the build-up to the game, that's what he likes to do. He likes to get on that half turn, and he's more than capable of allowing the ball to run through his body, and then he's on the front foot, and then he's actually facing the opposition as opposed from more often than not, a deep line central midfield player will have his back to the opposition. He makes it on the half turn, so he's actually facing the opposition.
I think one of the challenges we'll have in that midfield, and with Gravenberch in particular, is when we come up against a team with a real proper number 10. We've played Ipswich, we've played Brentford so far. There's not really been anybody in those sort of pockets of space between the defence, between the midfield. And sometimes you look at that natural defensive midfield player who wants to stop the balls in there. Mm-hmm. Now, Gravenberch's a fantastic football player. Will maybe a couple of teams put a couple of tens in there to try and ask him that question defensively, because we know that he's comfortable on the ball. If he's not quite switched on at times, that's where he could get hurt. That's something for him to learn the position.
Like that, don't they play with De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva, a little bit like old-fashioned, like inside left and inside right. And they get a lot of joy from that. Like they get a lot of space. But, you know, horses for courses. Like the first two games that we've seen, like certainly the three games that I've seen, like Ryan Gravenberch playing that holding midfield player, he's done really, really, really well.
And that's the thing, is we don't know yet, because it'll take sort of a bigger sample size. It'll take facing 10, 12 teams. You know, it'll take maybe interesting to see what he does at Old Trafford next week, depending on what United do when they've got, and they've obviously not been playing with a striker the last couple of games in the true sense, but what they do if they've got Fernandes in the 10, it may change what we do in that midfield area.
Yeah, and it, obviously we thought that there'd be two defensive midfield players, so there may be at times, whether it's McAllister or Szoboszlai, has to drop a little bit deeper to give more protection to Ryan Gravenberch in that six role. And maybe Old Trafford could be that test, that different sort of challenge that he's not had in the opening two games. Ipswich and Brentford are two games we've looked at and thought we should win, and we have done. And we've made light work of it. We've won the games comfortably. Could have been more. United will be a really, really tough challenge. That'll be our toughest game of these opening three games next week. Yes, they've not started great themselves, United, but we went there a couple of times last season in the FA Cup, the Premier League, and we didn't get what we deserved. So, yeah, certainly wants to learn from there.
All right, there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and their careers on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing for Ajax. And there's lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Do make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's. Welcome back to the show and to Anfield, where the lawnmowers are out and creeping ever closer towards us. We will keep an eye on them and just make sure our toes are safe, because boy do they get close sometimes. Neil Mellor and Gary Gillespie are still with me, and more interviews and reaction to come, hopefully, before we wrap things up tonight. We perhaps should elaborate a little bit more, Neil, on the fact it was the manager's first proper game here. You spoke at the top of the show about the reaction, the atmosphere we got. Can he be encouraged by that, the kind of warmth, the kind of the way that they embraced him and the way that they responded to what the team offered today?
Yeah, I mean, we knew at the start of the game that the fans would be up for it, and they certainly were, a great atmosphere. But one of the things we didn't see enough of last season was good starts from Liverpool, scoring goals, and we got that. I thought it helped the atmosphere, certainly. Everybody was behind, the manager, the players. You were sensing maybe a little bit of frustration second half, because we had so many good chances, we just couldn't find that second goal. But then eventually it came with the Salah one. And you know, the fans were singing the manager's name. You know, they want to create that that little bond, that connection. New manager, new personality, and everybody's right behind him, really are. And it's great to see. And you know, he's gradually feeling his way into that relationship with the fans. Little wave there, which is
I
nice.
I think that's maybe about as animated as we'll probably see him, to be quite honest with you, unless he gets really carried away on maybe a big European night, hopefully. But no, I think he's a cool kind of dude, isn't he? But like, he gave a wee fist pump to the crowd, and I think the crowd were more than happy with that.
Yeah, we sort of speculated pre-match how that would evolve over the time. First indications are it's the Arne Slot thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up at the end of the year. A bit more understated, but that's his own way. We keep sort of analysing and looking at the changes, the way the team are playing. We spoke about the use of the ball, maybe a little bit more considered at times. 92% pass completion today, the best Liverpool have had since records were done in the Premier League, you know, a good few years ago. So that kind of shows the way the team do look after the ball, Gary, the way that he wants them to have good use of the ball, good possession. And that's a slight tweak to things. It will be a little bit more, measured maybe at times.
Yeah, I think, you can get obsessed by the short passing and let little balls into the midfield. But I think what was good today as well was the long passing. When you looked at the amount of long balls we actually played that found our targets, it was really impressive, to be quite honest with you. I think Salah... Virgil hit a couple of these diagonal balls, as he does to Mohamed Salah. Again, even for the goal, it was a kind of like long kind of ball breaking out. And I thought all round the passing was very, very good, which obviously backs it up with the stats. But it's not just short passing, it was long passing as well.
I think there are some stats we all like, we all prefer. Pass completion, to me, I've never liked as an attacking player. I think it promotes safe play. But there's no way you would say that was a safe performance, because there was so much good play. Moving the ball quickly and keeping the ball, moving the ball sideways and backwards, or you're moving it forward and trying to progress and hurt the opposition. And we did that. You know, there was a mixture. There was at times patience when Brentford really congested the central area outside the penalty area, and there was a lot of bodies there. And rather than trying to force a pass, which probably wasn't on, and we give the ball away, we just move the ball again and just try and move the ball from side to side and just try and create a little bit more space for a different opportunity to
we did that under Klopp as well. Like, they moved like the ball from side to side quite a bit under Jurgen. Like, they didn't always play the ball forward on a regular basis. It was quite a measured approach from Jurgen as well, I thought, anyway.
But the pass completion stat is one where...
Well, it's quite. I think that's quite an important stat, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, it's a stat. So, a stat that Gary likes. What stats do you like?
Shots on target.
How many times
are we testing the goalkeeper? We've had seven more shots on target in the second half. Was more, and I thought that was, that was really evident with our play.
There's quite a few moments, and we've seen it in both games. They work the ball. It comes in, worked out wide. We saw Trent a good few times. The ball's put in. There are maybe three, four balls cut back across the box on a different day. Could have been finished. Should have been finished. Jota had one from close range, went over. So things like that, we think, will get slicker, get better, the more the manager works with the players, the more the players work with the manager.
Well, it's good movement, isn't it? It's movement off the ball. You can't be a good passing side without movement. You have to have movement in your side. You go back to look at the likes of Man City. How many times did they actually get to the byline? They get to the byline quite a bit, to be quite honest with you, don't they? Cut it back. Haaland's always there to score. I thought today, especially second half down the right-hand side, both Conor Bradley and Mohamed Salah saw his line in the first half down that combination with Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Even Trent got to the byline a couple of times as well. And it's just finding the right pass into the right area of the pitch to capitalise on it. But the more times you can do that, and the more movement off the ball, then I think will cause teams all sorts of problems.
Yeah, could have had more goals today, potentially, especially in the closing stages. Ended up with just the two. We should maybe just sort of drill down into both the goals a little bit more. We'll start with the first one. A great break, good pass, good decision-making, and a very good finish by Luis Diaz.
Top finish, absolutely. I think Luis Diaz is a player who would have been disappointed with his numbers last season, because I think he's capable of more. He's a player who always seems to make things happen. And today was a performance which we know he's got. You know, he scored a brilliant goal. He's got an assist as well, denied by an unbelievable save from the goalkeeper. So really influenced things in terms of being effective for the goal and the assist. The first goal was brilliant because it's timing of the run and the pass. As Jota and Diaz are breaking away, they're thinking, Brentford are trying to get players back. If you don't time that pass right, if the run's a little bit too early, there's an offside, there's an interception. So between Jota and Diaz, the combination was outstanding. And then the finish. You know, he's got a long time to think about that finish, Luis Diaz, as he's bearing in on the goal. The goalkeeper's trying to make himself look big. The goalkeeper's probably expecting him to go across him, but he's beat him on his near post with a really, really good finish. And that was the speed of the counter-attack, but decision-making and top quality when it was needed for the opening goal.
Yeah, we've seen Liverpool in that sort of position umpteen times, like even this season, and especially last season as well, where they've squandered it. They've like been a little bit wasteful with like the opportunity or the decision-making. On that occasion, everything was spot on. The decision-making was spot on, the run was spot on, the pass was spot on, and the finish was spot on. And that's kind of like the kind of like clinical kind of finishing that you need if we're going to be challenged for like the top of the Premier League.
An early first goal, had to wait a little while to get the second goal. It was just when Mohamed Salah maybe started to come into the game a little bit more, where he gets himself involved and gets that kind of customary goal. Now, his numbers, as Pete touched on in his interview with Bucanati, just ridiculous.
I mean, the finish was quite incredible. It really was. It was good playing the build-up from Liverpool to win the ball back. Luis Diaz with the pass, recognising that that was the pass to play to Salah, who had a little bit of space. There was a nervous wait whether he was offside or not. Mm. It looked like it was close, but the finish, he sort of gets his foot round it and he knows what he's trying to do, just trying to bend it towards that far corner, and he just gets it absolutely superb. That was a top finish. It really, really was.
Yeah, you'd expect nothing else from Mohamed Salah. He does that on a regular basis, doesn't he? I think very seldom do you see Mohamed Salah blast the ball into the back of the net. You remember that one against Chelsea when he was like quite a ways out and just put his left foot through it and like we're flew in at the top corner. But he is a calculated finisher. Picks out the corners, picks out the opposite side from the goalkeeper more often than not. And it was just a sheer, well, it was a Mohamed Salah finish. Simple as.
As we said earlier in the show, ultimately, Liverpool deserved to win today, but there was that sort of sticky-ish spell where it was only 1-0 and Brentford had moments. What did you make of the threat of Brentford? They set up slightly different than we thought. They did stay with the four. They didn't switch to the five, yeah, which took us by surprise. Yeah. But beyond that, the threat was what we thought it would be, the set pieces, the delivery into the box, which almost worked for them.
I think we knew they'd be coming here and they're not going to be having loads of chances. So for a team like Brentford, the chances that they do get, they have to take. And on another day, they take it. They maybe nick a draw, but they didn't take that massive chance. The big one was the one in the first half. It's 1-0, set piece. I don't know what's happened, whether there's a block there or what, but he's got a free header from a position you would expect more often than not in finding the back
just
of
missed
that.
It.
Just missed it. It was a huge let-off for us. Second half, they didn't really create a great deal. Again, a set piece to the far post. It goes down as a decent save from Alisson, but best goalie in the world, I'm not expecting to see him beat. So I think from a Liverpool point of view, we limited Brentford to very little good opportunities. Just that one big chance, which for Brentford they'll be looking at and thinking, we may only get one, we'll have to take it. They didn't take it. So the clean sheet for us was again a real positive.
We defended them well as well, though, because there was a few, we've seen in the past against Brentford, those balls in the box have been trickier to handle, but today dealt with it by and large pretty well. I remember there was one particularly down this end, Bucanati got back and flicked the header away when the boy was coming in. Things like that,
yeah,
are not as easy as perhaps they look at times.
No, especially from a defender's point of view. You feel a little bit under pressure. I think Brentford are one of these teams that like do put you under a little bit of pressure, but at no stage of the game did you think that Liverpool wouldn't win the game. Brentford, yes, they had their moments, they had their like, little episodes in like in our box, but it wasn't really enough to bother Liverpool. And again, a bit similar to the first game against Ipswich, I thought it could have been a little bit more comfortable had we like been a little bit more clinical in front of goal.
We spoke about counter-attacks as well as being a threat, didn't we, before the game?
About did Brentford. See an awful lot of it.
Again, I felt as though Liverpool defended that well, aware of maybe that threat of certainly Mbeumo and Vissa that they have going forward. And we got players back very quickly to stop it being maybe a 2-on-1 situation where Brentford might create a chance.
There was an incident in the second half where like, Trent Alexander-Arnold got caught up in the right wing position and he made an almighty sprint to get back. I thought we were up the stand watching him. And I mean an almighty sprint to get back. And that's just like a desire to go and defend and keep a clean sheet.
At Brentford 16th last season.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen today, what you saw on the opening weekend, that you expect them to be similar again, maybe bottom end of the table, but safe.
Yeah. I mean, 10th to 16th, you put Brentford in the category of a Wolves, a Fulham, a Crystal Palace, a Bournemouth, where you're thinking they're probably too good to go down. but maybe missing a Tony and obviously the new signing who's not quite fit yet, without the goals, match-winning ability of a player like that, I can't see them creeping into the top 10. They may get dragged into a relegation battle at some point during the season, but I think during the whole season, they will have far too much to be one of those three teams going down. So I put them between sort of 10th and 16th, and between all the teams I've named, you know...
Yeah, they could fall in any...
It could be a couple of points between them all, really.
Get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home and away kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection. You can also shop the latest editions across LFC label fashion for men, women and kids. Shop them today at official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Welcome back to the final part of the show. A first home game done and dusted for Arne Slot, a win in the bank. What did he make of it all? We can find out now. He's speaking with Pete.
Arne, congratulations. Two wins from two in the Premier League and a win to start the Premier League life at Anfield as well.
Yeah, very pleasing to see, especially our performance as well. Two times in a row we didn't concede a goal. I think today we needed Alisson for this as well, especially in this one big chance they got in the second half out of a set piece. So good performance overall.
Two great team goals over the last couple of weeks as well. Are they the goals that you like most?
Yeah, although I like a sloppy goal as well, as long as we score goals. But I think what we have to try to do is come as much as we can in positions where we want our attackers to be in. And that happened quite a lot today. And then, you know, with the quality they have, they can always score a goal. And the same players have to work really hard not to concede. And I think that's what they did today. That's why out of open play, I don't think we conceded any chances.
It was so controlled for the majority as well. Was there anything at half-time that you looked to change this week?
Yeah, the pressing of the goal kick was not the way we wanted it. And positioning of our players in certain moments could have been better when we had the ball. But I also complimented them with the fact that we didn't concede any counter-attack at all, because Brentford is also a team that can counter-attack you really good, really well. And that we controlled during the first and the second half really good.
And you saw it for the friendly, but to be here for real, you never walk alone at the start and at the end of today. What was that like for you as the new head coach?
It's really nice to be part of it, let be clear. But before the game, your thoughts are not so much on, okay, how is the atmosphere? Your thoughts are on, how can we win the game? And then in the end, if you've done it, you reflect back and you feel like, okay, it wasn't a bad start at all.
Well done. Thanks for your
Thank
time.
You.
Interesting, Gary, you mentioned the fact that they were so effective at stopping the Brentford counter-attack, something we talked about earlier. I think it's interesting, in his early sort of interviews, he's quite honest in giving answers about tactical things, where some managers don't like to give too much away. He'll say, no, I wasn't happy with this, or I thought we did this well, we changed this. It's sort of a slightly different approach to it.
Yeah, I was surprised when Pete answered him the question and he came up with two answers, didn't he, about how he changed it.
Pressing the goalkeeper.
Yeah, pressing the goal kick and then positions of the forward players not in the right kind of areas. I mean, to be honest with you, with all the analysts that they have available to themselves, I think he's quite an astute kind of coach as well. I think he kind of looks at it and sees it himself, as opposed to maybe the analysts, where I think Jürgen relied heavily on the guys to analyse the first 45 minutes and then go from there. But I think you're never quite happy as a manager. There's always one or two little things that you have to or you want to tweak. But noticeable, as Neil picked up on it, the amount of times that we quashed the counter-attack pretty well and won balls in good areas of the pitch again, which is always a good is always a plus, because then you're starting your attacks with the opposition a little bit flat-footed, a little bit off guard, and in good positions in the field as well.
I think a real positive has got to be the players are buying into the new coach. You know, we had Jürgen for a number of years now. We knew there's going to be a big change, and the players are really buying in to how he wants it to be. And okay, there's a few tweaks. You know, the one last weekend at Ipswich, big second half performance, ended up winning the game. And again, I felt as though the second half performance was better in an attacking sense. I thought we had more shots, more good chances, and hurt them more.
I think it's hard not to buy into it. You know what? footballer, but when you're playing a football match, you want lots of touches of the ball, don't you? You want to be involved, and you want, and that's his kind of his philosophy. Like, get players' touches, get the ball, like the guys passing to each other. We talked about little short passes, but be on the ball, get on the ball and make passes. I think as a footballer, you know, certainly from a midfield point of view and a defender's point of view, it's a dream that. Maybe a little bit different from a striker where they just want to run on to it and smash it in the back of the net.
And not pass completion.
And, yeah, not, yeah.
So selfish, you forwards. Two wins out of two so far for him. Next up, he comes up against his fellow countryman, Erik ten Hag. It is his biggest test to date, a trip to Manchester United. Is there a sense, Neil, that some of these group will feel that we owe United a little bit for the two games we had at Old Trafford at the back end of last season?
Well, there's no doubt the fans will feel that. Arne Slot wasn't there last season for him, so this is a completely new challenge. It's a first experience of a massive rivalry. And everybody will make him fully aware of how much dislike there are between both football clubs. And we have been the much better side over recent years, there's no doubt about it. United have been nowhere near the levels Liverpool have been. United are desperate to get there. They've stuck with their manager. They haven't started the season particularly well. They got away with both games last season. I still cannot believe that we didn't beat them in that FA Cup game and the league game. It still hurts now, watching all these chances that we've had, and we didn't actually beat them.
But we had only had ourselves to blame in this particular game, that this shouldn't have been the way it ended.
No chance. I mean, United should have been out of sight. It was 2-1, and the United fans at Old Trafford, they were resigned to being getting beaten. They weren't getting behind them thinking, we might be able to get back into this game. They had seen enough, and if it was a boxing match, the towel had gone in. But we just didn't take those chances, and I don't even want to watch this. Yeah. I really don't. Gary, please, help me. I'm watching these goals from United. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's a little bit sickening, isn't it? I think it's probably the nature and the manner of the defeat that like really sticks in the throat, because we were so much the better side, so much on top, but it's not always the best side that wins, is it? And like, when you go to a place like Old Trafford and the rivalry that we have with like Manchester United, sometimes that, you know, it can override the game a little bit and you get lost and your concentration goes a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how they react under the new manager. I think he won't change his philosophy. He'll want to play the same sort of style. But it's a big game, big test. It always is against Manchester United, regardless of how well or how poorly they're doing or how well or poorly we're doing.
If you hadn't picked up on it at home, the lawnmowers have got close to us while we've been on these two highlights packages. I just wonder, you know, the FA Cup game particularly damaging last season, it sort of derailed things a little bit, Neil, but that's kind of done now. It's this season, it's this United. What can we read into what we've seen in the first couple of games of the season? Are they any better than they were in these two meetings?
No, I haven't seen that. They've only played a couple of games. They beat Fulham. They probably did have enough to win the game, created a few decent chances. I think the one against Brighton, it could have been a different outcome, that. They had a goal disallowed at 1-1 where Garnacho should have scored, but for some reason, as he's shot, his mate's on the line in an offside position and it's hit him and gone in. Now, if that goes in and Garnacho should score that, it's 2-1 to United. They probably win that game 2-1, but it's a late, late winning goal in the end from Brighton. What I would say is, watching this new Manchester United, in terms of they brought some defensive players in, it will look completely different to the team we had faced last year. They will still give us chances. The way that we've been playing the start of this season, we will still create chances going to Old Trafford. We have to be clinical, we have to be ruthless if we're going to turn those disappointing results from last year into positive ones and victories.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back next Sunday with more analysis and interviews from Old Trafford after Liverpool take on Manchester United. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.